Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Good morning, J. Will and Max, to you. Yes, it is a new day.
What a day.
In a new week.
What a weekend.
And a lot of different things happen in 24 hours. And we're going to talk about it on our show this morning.
Watch it.
Max, you can go right ahead because I know your lips are ready to go.
This dude was watching the Grammys last night.
This whole bag.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah. I wasn't quite watching the Grammys, but we'll get into that later on.
Yeah.
I don't watch award shows, but I missed the whole Jay-Z thing. It kills me. Then I was looking for it this morning when I read about it online. I'm like, I can't find the video anywhere.
No, I saw it because my boy sent me to, like, sit. Yeah, he taped it off his TV,
uh-huh.
And he sent it to me. It's pretty cool. I mean, how the whole it was right.
Jay really don't perform anymore. Every now and then, he just has to remind people. Listen.
Let me show you.
Damn, how long he been doing that, man?
A long time. So this Kyrie stuff breaks on Friday, right before this just in. So that, you know, throw out the rundown, right? You're editing for an hour, and then you're like, all right, throw out the rundown. We're talking Kyrie. And now
my phone starts blowing up. Tom DeCourty. I'm like, why is Tom DeCourty calling me so?
Yeah, I saw Jay make a fake appearance, and the reason it was a fake appearance.
I was in Louisville doing a game. Because
it really wasn't. It was him, but it was the little fake picture with the turtleneck on.
As much as I talk about the two of you on that TV show, I quote you, as Key says, as I say Keyshawn Johnson sometimes, because as Jay was talking about, you guys, hey, guys, why don't you crickets?
I picked up the phone.
I was getting ready to hop on a plane at the time, and I saw Jay's mugshot. And he was talking about Kyrie. I couldn't hear it though.
Yeah, I got.
So Jay's going to tell me today.
I got all your texts.
He's going to repeat everything that he said on Friday today.
No, you know why? Because back then that was just a trade request. He's been traded since then.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was the trade request.
That's the request made those kind of waves. He's been traded since then, not to the Lakers. And then you think maybe not to the Clippers. Yeah. He ain't going to L.A. He's going to the Mavericks. Jay, they're sending Dorian Finney-Smith, nice 3-and-D player, Spencer Dinwiddie, nice player, unprotected 2029 first-round pick.
Wait, Max, you mean Spencer Dinwiddie that was originally on?
Yeah, and
Brooklyn's
who played well for the Nets.
For 5 years? Okay.
Who played ahead. Well for the Nets.
Yep.
A first-round pick and 2 seconds in 2027 and 2029 for Kyrie Irving and Markieff Morris. Now, Nick Friedel, ESPN Nets reporter on game day. He's going to join us in studio at 8:45. Talked about why this move is better for the Nets in the long run.
The drama had become too overwhelming. And as far as Brooklyn's concerned, to get away from Kyrie, to get assets in return, there's a familiarity with Dinwiddie having been here a few years back. They still hope they can win. But the reality is, you can't replace Kyrie Irving. For all the drama he causes, he is an incredible player still. So, as far as a title is concerned, I don't think that is a reality for this Brooklyn team anymore. But for the health of the franchise, I think they're in a better place now.
There is so much to get into here, Key. Jay, there was... We could talk about the – I get from Dallas's point of view, when you have a chance to get a singular talent
and
you already have another one, but how's it going to work? You figure that out later. Go get the blue chipper when you can get it. That's what they did. I get it from their point of view. Then there's the Nets' point of view and Kyrie's point of view. Makes sense of
which
this.
One? Which POV do you want to hear first?
What is your headline? What's the thing you think people have to understand first?
This was because Key. I don't know where to start. I mean, literally, the last 3 days.
Well, okay, here's where I want you to start, Jay.
Okay.
Why did this happen?
It was a very tumultuous relationship. Like it was, Key. Have you ever had one of those relationships or seen them with your friend where it's so sporadic and so back and forth, and there's no trust at all that it's inevitable. It wasn't going to work. but both sides keep trying to make it work, and you're like, but this ain't going to work, y'all. Everybody else sees it, but y'all the ones. You know what I'm talking about,
Keith? I'm on my second marriage, Jay.
You're fighting for look, I'm going to give you the root of it. So, and this is just from my sources. When KD goes down and he gets hurt, and people around Kyrie have been trying to create conversations with management about his extension. And when an extension gets offered, a three-year extension, $140 plus million, but when that third year of the extension is based off the team winning a championship, for him to get his money, can't do it. Relationship is broken. It's done. Snap. It's never coming back. Sources have told me that his camp has been trying to get this extension for a long time now, even back to the pandemic when it got offered to him, hey, you can sign this extension. We'll give you the money if you take the shot. Kyrie walked away. I don't feel comfortable right now taking this shot. I've told you there are other players in the NBA that have not gotten the vaccine. They have not been lambasted the way I have because of the city mandate. It feels like they have become...
Slow down. So, yep. There was a mandate in New York City.
In New York City.
That you couldn't, what was it, perform in certain places.
Even though he lived in New Jersey, if you were an employee of
New York City, then you had to get vaccinated.
Which was erroneous, by the way, because players could come into the city and play who weren't vaccinated.
But they weren't an employee of the state, in the state, or the city, for that matter. Kyrie, whatever you think about that, Kyrie thought, wait a minute, just because I happen to play here, I'm being singled out, it's becoming a news item. Players who play in other areas who don't have that law get to slide, you know, under the radar, right?
Mm-hmm. So he became the face of the unvaccinated players. Hence, walked away from the money, Key.
I understand. You should have had this news back then. Well,
you know, things come out. And it's like, all right, well, that's first part of contract negotiations.
Yep.
Right? It didn't happen. Okay.
By the way, you did have this back then.
I said it on this show. Yep. It's just when people listen, that's when they hear it. So then you have the Boston situation where they get swept by Boston. They try to reestablish conversation about the extension. Don't feel like they're getting the right just from the team. Right, from Josiah and company, it gets extended. And then when they get this final offer with the last year of the third year of the deal being stipulated upon the team winning a championship, they say, no, we can't do it. And that's when you had a report that came out. Hey, we're not going to be together. Kyrie is going to be separated from the team. And here we have the trade. Mm-hmm. So I think it really stimulates from them not getting the contract extension.
Of course. I mean, like, to sum it up, dude wanted his money. He is among the very elite of the NBA. On the other hand, he has earned himself a reputation, whether you think fair or not, I should say earned. He has a reputation, and I think it is deserved. To the extent to which it's deserved is another argument. But where, given his level of talent, he is not considered reliable. Is he going to be there? Will something come up? Is he going to feel like he doesn't want to play, like he's evolving into something other than a basketball player, like he doesn't want to get a shot, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, they want to treat him not quite like an elite player.
But Max, sometimes the way you say things really matter.
Sure.
Because I said the headline. Once again, I'm just not sure people heard me. You give me a contract in NBA history where a year of your pay has been stipulated upon your team winning a championship.
It's the first I've heard of it. It's unprecedented.
Yeah. You've never heard of it before in the history of basketball. It's a complete slap in the face. If you want to stipulate my contract based upon games played, okay. Like, that's a separate conversation, right? Because if KD's not playing, if Ben Simmons isn't here playing the way we thought he was going to play, and I have to play 40 minutes a night, it increases my probability of injury while I'm carrying the team. So that's a separate conversation, but that's – more respectable. Okay.
Yeah, you guys couldn't make 60 games.
Okay.
You guys couldn't make that. You had Harden here. You don't have Harden here. You guys couldn't make the whole thing work. And now I'm going to lose money because if we don't win a champ. I get it. Yep.
It's not respectable at all, Jay. The fact that you want to stipulate and put some clause in my contract, whether it was the first year or the third year. If we go down because let's say I play the entire season and Ben Simmons doesn't play or KD gets hurt again in the playoffs or whatever the case may be, or you know, he requests a trade or something along those lines come up, that third year to me is a waste of year.
There you go, Keith. Why
do I have to put my future in their hands or my economics? What if we have to fire another coach?
It makes you the most tradable asset there is. I could send you anywhere. What do you think? Any team wouldn't take that? Oh, my goodness. I'll take Kyrie Irving if the last year in the contract, it says right here in the contract, it's stipulated upon you win a championship or you don't get paid.
I mean, it basically, given how many teams there are and everything, you know, only one team can win, it's almost like an NFL contract when you see, oh, you got $150 million. How much is guaranteed? $80 million. So why are we reporting it as $150 when it's really $80, right? You could just take
that. Sounds better, man.
Yeah, you could just take that extra money to win. It's just off the contract because the guaranteed money is not there.
Oh,
and
so
it's unlikely that any team wins a championship in any given season.
You got so much more to say.
There's a lot going on, including why isn't Kyrie headed for the Lakers?
Hey.
Are we sure that this Dallas offer
Petty.
Was better than the Lakers offer? What is going on? And what's next for KD?
I hope the Nets never win a championship ever.
888-SAY-ESPN 729-3776. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
The Brooklyn Nets are trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks.
We're really just on Kevin Durant watch now, right? Attempting to win a title with the Nets.
You have to show him that you are trying to improve the roster. And
for the health of the franchise, I think they're in a better place now.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Key, you had a question for Jay before we went to break.
Yeah, I wanted to know, Jay, why would the Mavs, as I'm sitting and I'm thinking and over this, why would the Mavs do this deal? Because Kyrie, essentially, it's not like, okay, so in football, they're not going to give up all these picks and assets and have a guy come to a team without getting a deal done, right, mm-hmm. in football. So the Mavs
like a long-term extension, you mean?
Yeah, so yeah. The Mavs didn't get an extension done. Kyrie could be a free agent at the end of this season. Why would the Mavs do this without locking him up? Because essentially, as Max said, the Lakers did get this deal done. The Mavs kind of got it done, but the Lakers can do it once Westbrook comes off the books next offseason.
That's where he wants to go.
Well, because I think Mark Cuban is in a situation with Luka where you're trying to find any way to keep Luka there and happy and give him a chance to win a championship, even if it's in a one-year window. I mean, they made the move for Christian Wood. Christian Wood has not been the guy they thought he was going to be. So now you tell me that for the last half of the season, you have Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving.
With no defense.
They're ranked like 25th in defense. They're not going to play defense anyway. But you tell me a backcourt better than Luka and Kyrie Irving.
You know what? It really puts pressure on Luka to me, Jay, because I when Harden was on the Nets and KD got hurt and it was just him and Kyrie, and Kyrie said, here, you're the point guard, and Kyrie played off the ball, they were killing the game, just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Harden let his point total drop. Game is a lot like Luka's. Let his point total drop 20, 22 points a game, ton of assists. Kyrie was going nuts. They were killing teams in the Western Conference without KD. They were on a road trip, I remember. They didn't play a lot together, but Now it's on Luka. Can he do the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, so Luka to me has always been a poor man's LeBron James, right? Like, he is not as athletic as LeBron James, but more skilled at this stage of his game than LeBron James was. So you're telling me if he's a combination of scoring ability like James Harden, but has the passing ability and leadership aspects to a degree of like LeBron James, not saying leadership, because I think LeBron's a way better leader and Luka's still learning how to lead. But we've already seen this script before with Kyrie and LeBron.
Yeah.
So it's the same exact thing. Kyrie plays off the ball. They're one of the top teams in the league in isolations per game. They double-team Luka down the stretch. You can't double-team Luka now when Kyrie's on the floor. It works out perfectly for the Mavs. And this is a year window where you go and you win a chip.
You tell me a better year
to win the West than this year, which
is
wide
open.
You got to
try it, Key. You got to try it if you're down.
I guess. But, Jay, first of all, Jay mentioned the defenses at the bottom half of the league.
Yep.
In terms of where they're at defensively, you have to stop somebody. You still got to see guys like Ja. You still got to see guys at L.A. at the Clipper. I mean, there's teams that you got to see with players that can score points, Denver, so on, so on.
But
I was going to ask you, though, Jay, if you remember going back to when when the Nets put all this together with Harden and Kyrie and just put everything together, they hadn't played together. And it took them a while at times to get going. Now, I want to ask you, though, how can Kyrie and Luka just hit the ground running when they've never played together? Like, they haven't played together, so they don't know each other. This is different than maybe a LeBron James pickup ball or maybe a KD pickup ball. Him and Luka's never played together.
Yeah, but, Key, you got one of the all-time best point guards to ever play the game coaching this team. You got Jason Kidd coaching this team. So
With two of the most skillful dudes you could possibly ask for.
I mean, so it's like just add that to the Holy Trinity. You know what I mean? Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Like, that is Jason Kidd, Kyrie Irving, and Luka Doncic. When you do the sign of the cross, I mean, that's what that guard combination is. I don't think they're going to have a hard
combination.
Time. I don't think they're having a hard time at all, because this same style in basketball in which Kyrie was playing now, James Harden was a guard, like ball dominant guard.
But you ever see, like in the old days when AI and Vince Carter would be on the All-Star team, they just picked up and started, looked like they
played
together.
Well, it's an All-Star team, though. I'm just talking about continuity, though.
Of course, Key, but you're right about that, of course. But at a certain level of skill, which these guys are operating on, they should be able to figure this out before it would take another pair to figure it out, right? They should be able to.
I mean, there's nothing these dudes can't do. I personally would think that, but Jay played in the NBA, and so he would know more so than me if they could just pick up, hit the ground running, because they haven't been – it just seems hard to me that they would be able to do that. They're going to lose a lot of time, you know, before the playoffs trying to put the continuity together.
They ain't going to stop anyone, that's for sure, but they should be able to score, right?
I mean, look, if you – as a hooper, though, Key, like, if there's a certain skill set that I have as a scorer, a playmaker, right, and a dynamic handler, like that, those aren't hard aspects to combine to a team, right? Because Kyrie's already used to playing off the ball. He showed you he could play off the ball with James Harden. They're a high isolation team. Kyrie's great in isolation, and Kyrie's also played before with a guy in LeBron James who got double teamed down the stretch, hence him making one of the biggest shots in Cleveland basketball history for them to win the world championship. So the foundation of it isn't going to be hard. Their communication will be a challenge, but it's not going to be hard.
Yeah, I guess it's true, because I hit the ground running on our 2-on-2 with you.
We didn't even play one possession.
This is going to be on Luka in the sense that, okay, Luka, like a lot of players at your level, you never really had a dude on your level on the team, right? Porzingis, but not exactly.
Porzingis wasn't on his level, right, of course.
But I'm saying they went and got an all-star caliber,
sort of.
He's hurt a lot. Now they went and got him, like, game-recognized. They went and got him one of those guys to put with him. People are not going to remember what problems or style or you didn't hit the ground, whatever. They're going to remember you had that dude. What are you going to do with him? Pressure's on Luka now. The pressure is on him now. What are you going to do?
Got to win a chip, man. Got to win a chip.
I mean, if they chip, even if they win a couple playoff series, if they chip up, that's incredible.
So, I mean, now if you're Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
But they try to chip up year one.
For sure.
You have to do everything in your power to allow Jason Kidd to coach his team to get them to the highest peak performance as possible, because you're trying to Luke Kyrie Irving to sign a long-term deal with your organization. and Luka Doncic. It's one of the biggest bets in NBA basketball history, and there's nobody better to take this bet than Mark Cuban, who's become a billionaire off taking bets this, guys.
You got to. If you're a market,
you have to.
For whatever reason, Dallas has not been a magnet-type market, right? So if you're in a market like that and you have a player like Luka, even if the fit isn't perfect, right, when you have a blue chipper like Kyrie become available, you must roll the dice, or you're just going to be in limbo forever, on the treadmill, never really making progress. Meantime, what does this mean for Kevin Durant? Is he going to ask out of Brooklyn? Nick Friedel, who we played you sound of Nick earlier, he's been covering the Nets. Nick Friedel suggested he could look at Golden State, and Golden State could look at him.
We're doing that already.
Huh? And think, listen, this is working
already.
Jay, get on the phone.
Already, huh, Keith?
Could you imagine, even if it's in this offseason, Golden State reacquired, everything's your life's just, this is key what you were talking about. I like the risk he took by going to Brooklyn, but this is the thing about risk. It's not all upside. There's a downside. This was the downside of the risk. It was easy in Golden State. It was like the risk was not there the same way. You don't get as much credit in a certain way, but you win championships. Is that what's next for KD? 888-SAY-ESPN, 729-3776.
Phoenix Suns on line one.
The Nets plan to offer the picks acquired in the trade, as well as their 2027 first-round pick that they got from the Sixers, to improve the roster ahead of the Thursday trade deadline. That's what sources say. So they're going to flip it and try and get something else. We okay with KD asking for another trade? How everyone feel about that? 888-SAY-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Woj reporting the Brooklyn Nets are trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks.
They still hope they can win, but the reality is you can't replace Kyrie Irving.
The Mavs have put themselves in a position to be the front runner in the Western Conference.
The drama has become too overwhelming.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. ESPN 2 till 8 a.m. Eastern, ESPN U till 10 a.m. Eastern, Sirius XM Channel 80, and you can click more on the lower right-hand corner of the ESPN app. Scroll down to live radio. You are not tethered to your car. You take us with you anywhere live. You can download the podcast. You can listen on your smart speaker. Say, play ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. And join now by Frank Isola, Yes Network, Sirius XM, NBA Radio, and ESPN Around the Horn, and PTI. What's going on, Frank?
I was going to say the same thing. You know what? Frankie, baby!
I turn on the TV today. I'm expecting to see you guys from sunny Arizona. I figure probably Keyshawn has a massage ready at some spa in a few hours. I guess you guys didn't want to wake up at 1 in the morning.
No, don't put that on us. Don't put that on us, Frank. We would like to be.
It's an interesting conversation that we must have in the future offline.
Yeah, we'll talk offline.
I hear you.
Hey, what's your initial reaction to the Kyrie trade, Frank?
Yeah, I thought Saturday night I was doing the game, and the way everything was shaping up, it sounded like something was going to happen before Thursday. And
you know, I think the Nets have reached the point with Kyrie. To his credit, you know, I think coming back from the suspension that he was on, I thought he played as well as anybody in the league. It really was the best basketball he played with the Brooklyn Nets. So from his standpoint, why would you want to negotiate a contract and say, see, I'm still one of the best players? And I think from the Nets standpoint, clearly they have to protect themselves. You guys showed the stat before. I think it was 156 games played, 142 games missed. That's the biggest thing with Kyrie Irving, whether it's injury, illness, suspension, vaccination status, personal leave. He just misses too many games. So I think ultimately for the Nets, I think they said, you know what, now's the time to do something. We weren't going to get a lot from over the summer. Remember, Kyrie had the option last summer to go somewhere. Not a lot of teams had money. The Nets weren't going to work out a sign and trade. So I think the Nets figured, you know what, let's get something for him now, and we'll just part ways and finalize this divorce.
Look, Frank, it feels like to me they had this in the workings already. He just pushed it along before the trade deadline. But in the back room, it just felt like, based on what my colleague Jay Will told me about the 3-year 140 with the third year not fully guaranteed based on winning a championship, which was utterly ridiculous to me as an athlete, that they had already known that he was going to balk on that deal. So they had already said, you know what, let's start moving these pieces around. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I also think both sides kind of covering themselves. You know, are you making a serious offer when you're making something like that? Maybe not. And I also think a lot of this stuff coming out now about what other teams, you know, were willing to offer the Nets, I think that's out there to try to make the Nets look bad. I think it kind of tells you where the relationship had gone. And, you know, if you go back to late October, early November, when the whole thing happened with the tweet that he sent out, well, sitting here wondering, what is Kyrie's, like, immediate future right now with the Brooklyn Nets? Where is he going to be in the NBA? And, to his credit, he came back and he played well. But it's really, again, it's only a two-month window that he had here. And he was great. There's no question about it. The leading scorer in the NBA in the fourth quarter, and I understand that the Nets had struggled a bit without Kevin Durant there. But if you go back to the game he had against Utah on the road, the game that he had against Golden State on the road, you know, the games that they were winning, he was carrying them. So you're going to them and saying you want money, but I understand it from the Nets standpoint. You know, with Kyrie, let's face it, again, brilliant player, but with Kyrie, it's always something, and that always something equals missed games. It's a lot of missed games over 3.5 years.
Frank, interesting, you know, when we talk about there always being something. So I just want to get your opinion on something. So when, you know, the Hebrews to Negroes tweet got reposted, right? That was up for a couple of days and nobody really said anything. It didn't really catch a lot of traction until Joe Tsai made a tweet about it, almost saying they do not stand for anti-Semitism. So I, you know, just understanding two alpha males, how would you describe the relationship between Joe Tsai and Kyrie Irving ultimately when it came to a head and Kyrie asked to be traded?
I can't imagine that's great. And I had heard a story that, you know, last year when they were in training camp in San Diego, that originally Kyrie said he was going to get the vaccine. And then a couple, I guess it was the next day or 2 days later, he told him, you know what, on second thought, I'm not going to get it, which again, that's his decision. I can't imagine the relationship was great. And Jay, you also know this. The one thing about the tweet, so that was a Saturday night where it really blew up, and that was Nick Friedell, and you guys are going to have Nick on, so you could ask him about it. You know, Nick was pressing him on the questions, and Kyrie was going back at him. I think if the league had stepped in at that point, and on Sunday just had a meeting with Kyrie, and I think by Monday, if Kyrie had just settled the whole thing, it would have been over with. The fact that it extended, then he had the press conference where he was kind of defiant, and this is where it made no sense. Eventually, he issued the apology. Eventually, he deleted the tweet after everything had blown up and he had dragged his own kind of reputation through the mud. It was needless. It was pointless at that time. But I understand the way Kyrie is. He has, you know, strong beliefs. He doesn't like to be always told what to do. But in that case, that's something where I thought in the long run he kind of hurt himself, where the whole thing could have been over in just a couple of days. And I'm going to blame the Nets for that a little bit. I'm going to blame the league for that a little bit. And I got to blame Kyrie Irving for that.
Frank Isola, Around the Horn panelist joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Frank, what's next up for KD? I mean, we were sitting here talking about it. If you're Kevin Durant, you know, Sean Marks went from Kevin Durant, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, now to Kevin Durant, Ben Simmons, Spencer Dinwiddie, and picks. What the hell do you do if you're KD?
Well, I kind of feel like Kevin Durant, in a strange way, is in a win-win situation, because I'm pretty sure the timing was Kyrie Irving opted into his contract last year, and then it was the next day or 2 days later where Kevin Durant requested a trade. So Kevin Durant, I think he obviously respects Kyrie Irving as a player. Did he get a little tired of maybe the not playing and things like that? where Kevin Durant could be in a situation where he's saying, you know what, let's see what we can do. Let's see if we can make some moves and still make a run for this. Or Kevin Durant could be in a situation, could it happen between now and Thursday, perhaps could happen during the offseason, where he goes to the Nets and says, let's try to work out a trade. Remember, two things here with Kyrie Irving. If the Nets had not worked out the contract extension with Kyrie and had not traded him by Thursday, you know, who knows how this, what would have happened with Kyrie. There were stories out there that he would sit out the rest of the season, which obviously he would get suspended for that. He wouldn't get paid. We knew that Kevin Durant, you know, despite all the stuff that Kevin Durant does, you know, going at people on Twitter, and he likes to have some fun with that, the fact that he asked for a trade. I always thought that once the game started, Kevin Durant was not going to be a problem, and Kevin Durant was a problem for the opposition. The guy is an unbelievable player. He's a big-time leader out there. He does all it takes to win. I understand right now that he's hurt. So I think maybe the Nets were a little bit worried with that. But I think Kevin Durant, during the offseason, he's still in the contract for 3 years. It's still, for me, one of the most underrated stories from a couple of summers ago when Kevin Durant opted in or signed a four-year extension. And Kyrie at the time was offered the same thing. He decided not at that time to sign it. In the long run, that would have been the smart thing for him to do because he's not getting that contract, and maybe he'll end up on the Lakers. But he wanted to be on the Lakers last summer. It didn't work out. We know that he wanted to be on the Lakers right now, and it didn't work out. I know he gets to play with a guy like Luka, but you're playing with Kevin Durant in Brooklyn. And you were playing right near your home in West Orange, New Jersey. You're in New York. You're not going to L.A. Instead, you're going to Texas.
For now. That's fine. We'll be in Texas for a few months.
Frank.
So, Frank, here's the $100-plus million question. And I'm going to ask you to remove yourself from Frank Isola and put yourself into the head of Kevin Durant. If you're Kevin Durant, you're coming back off multiple injuries over the last couple of years. You're 34 years old. Do you entrust your career for the next 3 years to Sean Marks?
I think if I'm in it with him, if I'm trying to figure it out, I still think you could do something. I think Sean Marks has made good moves. Remember, Kevin Durant was not at the game. He's not sitting on the bench on Saturday. Now, is that a protest, or did you take? I took it as he's probably sitting with Josiah and Sean Marks trying to figure this out. If I were Kevin Durant, if he were going to leave, and I know you guys mentioned the Warriors, which of course would work, should go play with Nikola Jokic. How much fun would that be, seeing Nikola Jokic and Kevin Durant playing together, you know, with his passing ability, both two unselfish players? I think Kevin Durant, again, I think he's in a really good position because he's played great this year when he has been available prior to the injury. I think he'll play great when he comes back. And if he doesn't like the team that they're on, I'm sure he's going to go to them. I'm sure he'll do it quietly this time and say, let's try to do something over the summer. And, you know, you can get some assets for me. Let me move on to a team where I can win a championship.
Frank Isola, ladies and gentlemen, Yes Network, Sirius XM, NBA Radio, ESPN Around the Horn, PTI. Thanks, Frank. Always good talking to you, man.
All right, Frankie.
Good talking to you guys.
Hey, Frankie, baby.
So the Lakers missed out for now.
Yeah, baby.
On Kyrie. Yeah, Lakers ain't doing anything this year anyway.
Who cares? Key,
they're just going to get their ducks in a row.
Relax.
Key, they're going to get their ducks in a row for the offseason. Westbrook comes off the books. Kyrie's a free. You know, we'll talk about that later. But where do the Lakers turn next at this moment? Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
And the Brooklyn Nets are trading Kyrie Irving to the Dallas Mavericks.
We're really just on Kevin Durant watch now, right?
Attempting to win a title with the Nets.
You have to show him that you are trying to improve the roster. And
for the health of the franchise, I think they're in a better place now.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio. So the Lakers tried, but ultimately failed in getting Kyrie. And why is that? Was the Lakers' offer any worse than the Mavs' offer? How should Lakers fans feel? Where do the Lakers turn next? I can tell you that the league's always helping the Lakers. Why are they sending players? No, that's not true. In fact, the last time the Lakers pulled off a real blockbuster trade that no one could believe, the league undid it. You know, before the AD trade. It was Chris Paul. And Dan Gilbert, like a big crybaby, whined and complained and sent a pathetic letter around crying that the Lakers, who subsidize him basically with the luxury tax, shouldn't be able to make a good trade. And then the league backed him up because enough owners got together. Yeah, they shouldn't be able to make a good trade. And literally, the league undid the deal. Right? So how much of this is Lakers hating that he wasn't sent to the Lakers for a package that seems, if I'm the Nets, probably at least as good as the package they got? They discussed the Lakers and Nets possible deal on Friday and Saturday. Ultimately, the Mavericks package, the Nets claim, give a better chance to surround KD with players now and the opportunity to acquire three draft picks, two of them in the second round, by the way. Nets have been looking at three-way deals involving the Lakers before discussions with the Mavericks came together quickly on Sunday afternoon, sources said. Then LeBron tweets out, "Maybe it's me," after the Lakers deal didn't come through and the Mavericks deal did. Jay, what's your read of all this?
That Kyrie Irving will sign with the Lakers as an unrestricted free agent this summer.
But what about, before we get there,
we'll be fine.
What about before we get to this summer? Why didn't the Lakers deal go through? Why is he heading to Dallas? Do you think?
Well, I mean, when Russ is involved in a deal, we're going to put Russ and Kevin Durant back on the same court
hard
together.
To do.
I mean, it's just, if you're KD, that doesn't make sense at all. And I don't know. I'm just, from the history that I've seen those two have, like, that's not an additive piece that I think helps the Brooklyn Nets to get to winning a championship. And the picks, ultimately, they're incredible picks. It doesn't help with the issue you have with Kevin Durant right now, because essentially we are talking about a one-year window, right? We're talking about, like, what is KD seeing with what they get in return?
Man, not even
right
a
now?
1 year, half a season.
Half a season, yeah. What does KD see with the value of the picks they have right now, with the players you have right now to help this team get to the Eastern Conference Final and having a legit chance to win before you take a second to say, you know what, I want to decompress and I want to see if I want to stay here long term for the next 2 years of my extension?
Everything that Jay just said, mm-hmm. plus everything that you said about the Laker sort of kind of hate deal, think about it this way. Everything Jay said, everything you said, right? But now you add in, and I'm not going to say tampering, but you add in the fact that there was, I'm assuming, I don't know this for a fact.
Allegedly,
communications with LeBron James, along with Kyrie, during the offseason, and I want to get out of here, and I'm going to go to the Lakers. Oh, he's in L.A. training, and this, that, and the other. So if I'm the Nets, why would I help the Lakers out when you, essentially, this is the way I'm thinking as the owner, you poison the mind of Kyrie Irving by flirting with him and getting him to think that he needs to be a Laker and causing all sorts of problems for us. So now, I tell you what, I'm going to make you go the long way to get him, even though I believe, like Jay believes, that he's going to wind up in L.A. Why am I going to help you right now?
Right.
When you were messing with my player.
That's the question. That's the question, Key. There's speculation already that, to put it simply, Joseph Tsai, the owner of the Nets, is like, time out. You're a pain in my neck, and now you're going to get what you want. You're not going to get what you want. I'm not going to send you where you want. How much do you think is you described, and how much of it is that?
I'm just going to tell you, my sources tell me that, like, you know, their camp didn't expect for them to get anything they wanted. Like, it was in the hands of the Brooklyn Nets to make that ultimate decision, right? Like, you know, they had a year ago, they're like, hey, here are my preferred list of teams I'd like to go to. Obviously, Kai has worked out in L.A., with LeBron and company, with Phil Handy, like, they've been known to work out for a very long time together. But his camp never really expected to get traded to where they wanted to go, because it's in the hands of the Nets.
Do you think Joseph Tsai or the Nets brass was thinking, okay, we tried it one way, which is to appease superstars to put it together. It didn't work. Now we have to go another way because, I ask that because, the Knicks have been dysfunctional for so long in New York that the Nets had an opportunity in the last several years to take over the city. Much as the Clippers, they weren't going to take over L.A. because the Lakers have won too many chips. They have too much equity in the town. But the Clippers had a window with the Lakers. They failed to capitalize, right? It feels to me like if you take a more heavy-handed approach that the Nets are taking now, the message you're sending to potential superstars to look at New York as a landing place with Brooklyn is, no, you're not. Maybe you don't want to come here. You know what I mean? It's like a sort of a risky message to send if, in fact, the league perceives, yeah, the Nets just weren't going to give these dudes what they want. They figured they tried that already and it didn't work.
To me, this goes into such a deeper conversation, though, about what we expect from our star players and their relationships with management and ownership. Right? Like, one of the reasons we kill LeBron James, not New York Nike, but the media tries to destroy LeBron James. You gotta take the power away from him. He has too much power. And now that's Jenny Buss and Rob Pelinka getting the power back, even though that power led you to get Anthony Davis, led you to win a championship. But now on the alternate end, on the opposite side, we got Kevin Durant that says, you know what, Sean Marks, Josiah, you manage this. I just want to hoop. And now we're saying, well, Kevin Durant needs to take more power, take more control.
We judge these guys and their GMing skills. There's no doubt.
It's crazy how much it changes. Like, it just changes.
At that level. At that level.
So, Jay, what happens to KD now, though? Like, what happens to him? Like we come to the conclusion that Kyrie will wind up in downtown L.A. at some point, right? Now, what about KD, though? Does KD just sit and rot in Brooklyn?
Key, I play this year. I just want to come back and hoop. Let's see where things pan out. And when this season is over, if I like the direction our team is going, we can talk about it. I can be here. If I do not, I have to go somewhere else. And you do it all quietly behind closed doors. You don't make it a big scene. I think he has shown Joe Tsai and Sean Marks he has been the one consistent beacon of light throughout this whole thing.
Yeah.
He stuck through it. Even after he dealt with last year, flying out to London, sitting down with Joe Tsai and them, meeting together, talking through it. Like, look, I've done everything you guys have asked me to do.
I want to ask you.
Yep.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say, I want to ask you something when we come back about him being quiet and just chilling and letting it take its course naturally without him stepping out.
We shall see right now. A lot on the line for the Nets, a lot on the line for KD. Will the Nets do right by KD if he's been this beacon of light and give him his best chance to win? In fact, do they know how to do that? Or is he even in good hands? And from KD's point of view, he chose to strike out on his own, build his own thing, not just, join Golden State's ready-made. And there was a risk. It was a gutsy move, but here's the downside of the risk. And he played with Kyrie as LeBron did. LeBron won a championship with him. He has not. If Kyrie's heading back to L.A. and they win another chip, how does that look? For a lot on the line for KD, a lot on the line for Brooklyn. We're going to get into it. Brooklyn. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.